Hey, early risers, how you guys doing? Welcome. Glad you're here. So glad you got up early to worship with us. Want to welcome those of you online as well. Before I jump into the message, just want to mention last weekend, you know, we had the big celebration of 8,000 water baptisms in the history of our church. It was such a wonderful time. And if you happen to not be able to be here last weekend, man, make sure that you catch it online. We gave a lot of the history of the church, and my wife, Thora, and I did. We showed a bunch of pictures. It was just a great, great time. So grateful for it. But not only that, we actually did water baptisms last weekend, and we did it at both campuses, here at this campus and at our surprise campus. And the weekend before that, we actually did water baptisms in our youth department. And between all three of those, we baptized another 92 people over the last 2 weeks. So, yay God. Yay God. And if you're a follower of Jesus and yet for whatever reason you've not been water baptized, please make sure you get water baptized at our next water baptism, which will be toward the end of September, so a little over a month or so. So I want to ask, just by a show of hands, and I think it's probably most of you, but how many of you remember the name Elvis Presley? Anybody remember Elvis? Okay, most of you remember. Okay, here. How many of you could sing at least one line from an Elvis Presley song? You ain't nothing but a hound dog. I know you're jealous. Some of you don't know this, but I actually used to be an Elvis impersonator. That was a side hustle that I had going there for a while. As you can tell, I didn't make much money. Now I'm a pastor. Well, as we probably all know, Elvis Presley had enormous success. And yet, you know, by most accounts, Elvis Presley lived a very unfulfilled life. And he was a very unhappy man. And at the age of 42, Elvis Presley died of obesity and drug abuse. And in an interview with his wife, Priscilla, shortly after his death, she said this: Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason. Maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. So he'd go on stage, and he wouldn't have to think about it. You know, I wonder how many people in the world are sort of like Elvis. You know, they have this sense that they're here for a reason. They're here for a purpose, but they don't really know what that purpose is. In fact, let me ask you, is that the way that you feel? Do you know that you're here for a purpose? Because you are. And if you know that you are, do you know what that purpose is? You know, I know at least what part of your purpose is. Part of your purpose is to serve God. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible says that all of us were shaped to serve God. In fact, look at the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2:10. He says, "For we are His, God's, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," underline these next few words, "for good works." We were all created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand, meaning before we ever born, so that we would walk in them. See, before you and I were ever born, God planned us in advance. And God knew what He wanted us to do with our life. So God shaped you. He molded you. And He created you to do good works. In fact, God says that all of us were made to be able to contribute to the world and not just consume. Or as I've written, letter B there, God put us on this earth to make a difference. And he uniquely wired each one of us with different gifts and different abilities so that we can make a difference in the world. And the Bible talks about the fact that God has given each one of us a unique shape, a unique shape. And looking around this room, I can tell that God has given some of you a very unique shape. No, I'm teasing. I'm not talking about a physical shape. I'm talking about our inside shape. Rick Warren, the founding pastor of the Saddleback Church in California, he came up with an acronym that we use here at the Vineyard that's called SHAPE. And what does SHAPE stand for? Well, the S in SHAPE stands for spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Look at Peter says in 1 Peter 4, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well. Why? To serve one another. See, when you became a follower of Jesus, whenever that was, God gave you certain spiritual gifts. Now, some of these gifts are more supernatural in nature. Others of them are more natural in nature. But God has given each one of his followers certain spiritual gifts. And if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, you need to find out. And the way you can find out is by taking our growth track. At our growth track, we actually give you a spiritual gifts inventory so that you will know what your spiritual gifts are, because they are a big part of the way God shaped you. The H in shape stands for heart. Heart. God has given each one of us different passions, different interests, different motivations, different things that really grab our heart. You know, have you ever noticed that there are certain things that really interest you, and then there are other things that sort of bore you to death? Why is that? God did that. He gave us each different passions. Why? So that we would all serve in different ways. All right, the A in shape stands for abilities, the natural abilities that you were given on the day you were born. You know, for example, some of you are really good with numbers. Others of you are not. Some of you are good with people. Some of you like to be left alone. Some of you have tremendous mechanical ability. And some of you, like me, are challenged by trying to put in a light bulb. Some of you have incredible singing voices. Some of you actually sing like angels. Others of you, you're more like what's known as prison singers. You know what a prison singer is? A prison singer is a person who's always behind a few bars and can never find the right key. That is a prison singer. But God has given all of us different abilities, and those abilities all come from God. And then the P in shape stands for personality. God has given each one of us a unique personality. And I think it's safe to say that God loves variety, right? Let me illustrate it this way. When you go swimming, are you the type of person who likes to just plunge right in? Or are you the type of person who likes to sort of test the waters and sort of wade in, you know, at your leisure? How many of you would say that you're more of a plunger? Raise your hand. You're more of a plunger. You like to plunge right in, dive right in, jump right in, whatever. Okay. How many of you would say you're more of like, I test the waters, I want to wade in? Raise your hand. Okay, you know what happens usually? Usually plungers end up marrying waders. That's just the way that it works. You know, another part of your personality is whether you're extroverted or introverted. You know, some of you are very outgoing. Some of you are shy. How many of you would say that you're more extroverted? And if you're not sure what that means, do you get energy from being around a bunch of people? If you like to be around a bunch of people, you get energy from that, then you're extroverted. So how many, by raising of hands, how many would say you're more extroverted, kind of an extroverted person? Okay. How many of you would say that you're more introverted? Raise your hand. Now, the real introverts didn't even raise their hand. I know you. I know you. But God loves variety, and he's given all of us a different personality. And then the E in the word shape stands for experiences. And the truth is, God never wastes any of our life experiences. God will use every experience in our life to help create our shape. And so here's the question. Look at number one. What does God want me to do with my shape? What does God want me to do with my shape? Do you think God's ultimate goal for me in my shape is for me to make a lot of money? Well, for some of you, it is. Some of you have that gift. God has gifted some of you to make a whole lot of money. But it's not so you can just spend it on yourself. No. God has given you that gift so that you would help finance God's purposes in the world. But look at number two. The main thing God wants us to do with our shape is to serve him and serve others with our unique shape. That's why God has given you the talents you have and the gifts you have and the abilities you have. It's to serve him and to serve other people. And when we start doing that, we begin experiencing some great benefits in our life. In fact, I want to give you three great benefits you and I receive when we begin serving God and serving others. The first great benefit of serving God and others, letter A, is it improves my relationships. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, well, Brian, how does serving God and serving someone else actually improve my relationships? Well, you know how? Because number one, the root of just about every single problem in our relationships is self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. Now, there are other issues that come in, but the root is almost always selfishness. I want what I want, and you want what you want, and neither one of us wants to budge, and that creates conflict. That creates conflict. And really, what's causing that conflict is selfishness. And for those of you that have been married for a while, you know that marriage is a lifelong school of learning how to be unselfish. It is, isn't it? Unfortunately, some married people never learn that. They never go to school long enough, I guess. If you have kids, you know that parenting is a lifelong school of learning how to be unselfish. If you live in Phoenix and drive around in Phoenix, especially when the snowbirds arrive, you know that it's a lifelong school in learning how to be unselfish. But you know what? The more we practice this, and the more we learn to get the focus off of ourselves and onto other people and actually serve other people, it's going to begin to improve every single one of our relationships. Now you might think, well, Brian, how do I actually learn how to be unselfish? Well, it's very simple to understand. Just try to imitate Jesus. Just try to imitate Jesus. Look at what Jesus said about himself when he was here on this earth, Matthew 20, verse 28. He says, just as the Son of Man, talking about himself, did not come to be served, but to what? serve, and to give his life away as a ransom for many. See, Jesus came to serve. He came to give his life away. And as you and I begin to do that, our relationships begin to improve. All right, the second great benefit of serving God and serving others, letter B, is it gives my life meaning when I start doing that. Look what Jesus says in Mark 8. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. You know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying number two. He's saying true life comes from giving your life away. I want you to say that out loud with me. True life comes from giving your life away. Now, when many of you read that, you start to think about big things. You know, giving my life away, that has to be something really big. And so we start thinking about, well, maybe I need to become a missionary and move to Africa. Or maybe I need to move to the Middle East and try to help there. Maybe I need to do this big thing. But we think if we do one of these sort of big things like that, then we'll surely find meaning in life. But you need to realize that meaning in life also comes from small things. You know, when we serve someone else in any way, when we use the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given us for the sake of someone else, it all matters. As I've written number three there, in God's book, there are no small acts of service. No, it all matters. It's all big stuff to God. You know, I remember, 15 or 16 years ago, back when our kids were pretty little, they were maybe six or something, now they're 21 and 22. One of them was asking me about speaking here during the weekend services. And I don't remember exactly how we got in that conversation, but one of them said simply, well, Dad, what happens if only 50 people show up on the weekend? Would you still give the message? I said, absolutely. Then they said, well, Dad, what happens if only 25 people showed up at the weekend? Would you still give the message? I said, sure. Well, what if only 10 people showed up? Yeah, I told them, I've given a lot of messages to 10 people over the years. And then they said, well, Dad, what happens if only one person shows up at church? Would you still give the message? I said, no. I'd take my wife, Thora, out on a date because she'd be the one person that showed up. See, the fact is, in God's book, there are no little acts of service. Whether you serve one person or 1,000 people, it's all the same to God. Everything that we do has meaning. And everything that we do has significance. And you know what? It's often the small things that actually have the greatest significance. I want to tell you a true story. Back in the early 1900s, there was an American evangelist that went around the United States setting up a tent and doing these tent revivals and presenting the gospel to people. His name is Mordecai Ham. And one night, Mordecai Ham was having this big gospel crusade, this tent revival in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that night, two 14-year-old boys just happened to be walking by where they had this tent revival set up. And they didn't have a clue. They didn't know what was going on. But they could hear noise and all this stuff going on inside the tent, so they wanted to go in and see what it was. So these two 14-year-old boys wandered in, and the place was packed. I mean, there was no place to sit and so forth, so they just looked around briefly, and then they left. And then an usher, whose name no one knows to this day, an usher ran after those two 14-year-old boys and said, "Hey, boys, don't leave. We'll make a place for you. I'll find you two seats together. But just come on in. We'd love to have you here." And so those two 14-year-old boys came back in, and they heard Mordecai Ham share the gospel story about Jesus and dying on the cross and how they could receive life in Jesus Christ. And both of those 14-year-old boys ended up surrendering their life to Jesus that night. One of those boys was named Billy Graham. And as most of you probably know, Billy Graham has preached the gospel to more people around the world than anybody else in the history of the world. And that second boy was named Grady Wilson. And Grady Wilson ended up being the person who organized all of Billy Graham's crusades as he went around the world. Now, who's the hero of this story? Is the hero of this story Mordecai Ham for preaching the gospel and leading those two 14-year-old boys to Christ? No. Is Billy Graham the hero of that story for all that he did and preaching the gospel? No. Is Grady Wilson for organizing all those Billy Graham crusades? No. You know the hero of that story is? It's that usher who no one knows his name to this day. It's often the small things that people do to serve God that make the biggest impact. I'm going to give you another example just from our church here. You know, when you walked in today, maybe you got a ride in a golf cart. Maybe you were greeted by some people. Do you know the names of those people who served you in that way when you came in today? Do you know the names of all the people who got up early and got here and made free coffee so that we'd have free coffee when we came? Do you know the names of the people serving in children's ministry right now and ministering to your kids and teaching them about Jesus? Do you know the names of the people who come in during the week and sanitize all the toys in our children's ministry so they're clean and on disinfectant and all that for when we come on the weekends? Do you know the names of all the people who serve during the week and going to the food bank so that we can give away, you know, food and clothing to over 10,000 families every year? Do you know the names of the people who are serving backstage right now, enabling us to see what's happening on the video screens? See, all of that stuff is done by dedicated volunteers. It's done by people serving God in whatever way they can. And as they do that, you know what happens? It gives their life meaning. In fact, let me show you a short video of just a few of the things that people do in our church on a regular basis in order to serve God and serve people.
That's my King. That's my rock. That's my anchor.
When you serve God and serve people, man, it gives your life meaning. It really does. Let me give you a third benefit that serving God and others gives us. It leaves a legacy. It leaves a legacy. You know, one of the things that I've learned as a pastor over all these years is that everybody wants their life to count. Everybody. Men, women, teenagers, black, white, brown, red, green, yellow, doesn't matter. Blue, orange, doesn't matter. Everybody wants their life to count. Or as I've written, number one, everybody wants to do something great with their life. And there's nothing wrong with that. God is the one who put that inside of each one of us. But here's how Jesus says we get that. Look what he says in Matthew 20. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your what? Servant. See, the more you serve, the greater you become. The more you serve, the more influence you end up having. In fact, you might want to call it the Mother Teresa syndrome. You know, Mother Teresa went to the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. I mean, people were dying on the streets. And she began to take these people into her home, and she cared for them. She simply began to serve them when everybody else was trampling over them. And, you know, there was no fanfare when she was doing this. There were no YouTube videos that were going viral when she was doing this. She just served. She went to the least influential people in the world and served them. And you know what God did? God gave her incredible influence. So much so that almost everybody in the world still knows the name Mother Teresa even years after her death. Her simple serving, no strings attached, left a lasting legacy. Because see, that's what service does. And we never know what our legacy is going to be. But we do know this. When we serve with no strings attached, expecting nothing in return, God notices. In fact, look what it says in Hebrews 6. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him, how? By caring for other believers, as you still do. See, when you serve someone here at our church, or you serve someone in our community, you are making an eternal difference. You say, Brian, how am I making an eternal difference by serving? Because God uses our church and all the service that we give through our church to change people's lives all the time. You know, our church is not about me. It's not about Thora and me. It's not about me and our pastors. It's about all of us, using our gifts and our talents and our abilities to serve other people. And as we do that, we are leaving a lasting legacy. See, if you serve in our church, I want to remind you that you are helping to influence literally hundreds of people every single year to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Hundreds of lives are impacted in an eternal way every single year because you serve here at the Vineyard. And I know some of you think, well, what you do here at the Vineyard, it's a small thing, doesn't really matter that much. I want you to know as your pastor, what you do to serve God and serve people, no matter how small you might think it is, man, it matters. It really matters. And maybe there's not a lot of other people who notice all the things you do to serve God and serve others. But God notices. And through your service, you're doing what Jesus says in Matthew 6. You are storing up treasures in heaven by serving other people. And one day, you're going to be rewarded for all of your service. And I am so proud of all the volunteers that serve here at the Vineyard. And I want you to know, we would not be the church that we are without all that you do to serve God and serve others here at our church. And so from the bottom of my heart, I want to say to you, thank you. Thank you so much. In fact, I want to ask every person who volunteers in our church to stand and remain standing just for a moment, because we want to thank you publicly and acknowledge all that you do to help make our church the church that it is. And do not forget that you are helping to lead hundreds of people to Jesus Christ every single year by your acts of service here at the Vineyard. God bless you. May be seated. Now, those of you who are not serving here at the Vineyard in any capacity, I want you as your pastor to begin to experience the joy and the meaning and the sense of significance that you will get if you just begin to serve. I want you to begin to leave a lasting legacy. And so we're going to have some of our pastors and some leaders out in the lobby on your way out, and they can talk to you about potential serving opportunities that you might really enjoy and be really good at. And in your bulletin, you might have noticed when you came in, there's a little card that says, "Make a Difference." Make a difference. There's information on there as well. The pastors out at the tables, they'll have that information as well. But God wants you to begin to serve because that is how you leave a lasting legacy. Now, as most of you volunteers already know, this is Volunteer Appreciation Weekend. And so as part of that, we want to thank you by giving you a free gift out in the lobby. Now, don't get your hopes too high. It's not a free car or anything like that. But it is a nice gift. And so make sure you get that. It's in the celebration room. So stop by there. But I want to say, this is not for everybody in our church. So if you do not serve here at the Vineyard, don't think, you know, free gift, cool, I'll be there. No, this is for our volunteers, all right? Just our volunteers as a small way of saying thank you for all that you do to help make our church the church that it is. And again, for those of you who are not serving in our church, please start somewhere. And if you don't know where that would be, begin to take our growth track. You'll figure out what your spiritual gifts are. They will equivalate to places in the church that you would be really good at and you would really enjoy. It's a great track to get on, our growth track. And if you want more information about that, you can get that out in the lobby as well. Okay, I want everybody to stand. I'm going to dismiss the service in just a moment. Please make sure as volunteers you stop by the celebration room. There's some goodies in there, and obviously we have a free gift for you. And those of you who are not serving, make sure you talk to some of the pastors out there. Go by some of the tables, look at the signs and so forth, and think, oh, I might like information about that. If you would like someone to pray for you about anything at all before you leave, we would love to do that. We're going to have a ministry team up here at the front. In fact, if the ministry team would come up right now, we would love to pray for you no matter what your prayer need is. We love to do that. And then next weekend, I said this last week, I want to make sure you're reminded. Next weekend, we're starting a very special study in the book of Revelation. If you've always wondered, what is the book of Revelation? There's all these weird images and all that. How do I interpret that? What does that actually mean? We're going to go right through the book of Revelation. We're not going to shy away from any of it. And I think it's going to be a great study for us. I think all of us are going to learn a whole lot, not only about the book of Revelation, but also about how do we study the Bible in a sensible, sane way. So that's going to begin next week and be a great weekend to invite people to. What do we want to learn about the book of Revelation? I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. Lord, thank you for your presence with us today. Thank you so much, God, for all of our volunteers. And I pray that they would feel very special today. We're so grateful for them. And I pray for all of my friends as they go their separate ways, Lord. Bless each one. Bless them. Keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Say hi to some people on your way out. God bless you. We'll see you next weekend.